John le Carré, the British spy novelist who is a former spy himself, has given us books like The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, Smiley's People, and A Perfect Spy. Le Carré, whose real name is David Cornwell, has just written a new novel called The Russia House. It's being touted as his first glasnost spy novel. Book critic John Leonard has this review.
John le Carré does several things exceedingly well in his new novel, of spies who can't decide whether they want to come in out of the Cold War. He evokes the cities of Moscow, London, and Lisbon, of which he apparently approves, and Leningrad, which he seems to despise. He is rhapsodic on the virtues of innocence and loyalty, but mourns them too. They belong to some other century. He's created a Russian heroine, Katya, sufficiently plausible to permit me to forgive him for his earlier heroine, the Little Drummer Girl, a contemptible caricature. And he's created a Russian hero, the pseudonymous Goethe, sufficiently complicated and mysterious to permit us to believe in his genius. My ideas, says this Goethe to a British agent, are obtained from, 1, the paper tablecloths of Berlin cafes in the 1930s, 2, from the publications of my more gifted competitors, 3, from the obscene fantasies of generals and politicians of all nations, 4, from the liberated intellects of press-ganged Nazi scientists, 5, from the great Soviet people, whose every democratic wish is filtered upwards by means of consultations at all levels, then dumped into the Neva, and 6, very occasionally, from the mind of a distinguished Western intellectual who drops into my life. This Goethe, a poet, an artist, and an engineer, manages to smuggle to the West a mind-boggling manuscript. Unfortunately, the rest of the Russia House is a great gray lump. We're expected to root for a listless British agent, Barley Blair, whose scruples were far more persuasively embodied in The Honorable Schoolboy, Le Carré's best novel. We're expected to listen to a narrator, the hapless Harry, who confuses his sex life with the fate of nations. We're expected to believe that Soviet-guided missiles can't hit anything they're aimed at, and that the intelligence communities and the military, industrial, and Oedipal complexes of the West will do anything to keep this weakness a secret. Inside these thickets of prose, there's a single interesting idea. Hapless Harry reflects that one agent, dealing in human nature, is a primitive, whereas another, to whom human nature was one vast, unsavory quagmire, enjoyed the reputation of a modernist. Goethe's onto something similar when he says to Barley, "In chess, one chap has a strategy, and if the other chap doesn't spot it, or if he relaxes his watch, you win. In chess, the theory is reality. But in life, you can have a situation where a player has such grotesque fantasies about another one that he ends up by inventing the enemy he needs." That, too, is modernism, the self as other, James Angleton and his famous Mole. But this idea is plowed under as the novel strains for greatness, and oh my, does it strain, so self-admiring of every subordinate clause. It mentions in passing such Russian writers as Tolstoy, Pasternak, Solzhenitsyn, Bulgakov, and Brodsky. But it stretches westward also to include Stendhal, Conrad, Kafka, E.M. Forster, Garcia Marquez, and José Ortega y Gasset. This is uppity. Somewhere along the line, Le Carré decided that entertainment was beneath him, and that feeling bad at enormous length in compound sentences from several different points of view amounted to literature. It doesn't, and this isn't.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine, is a columnist for New York Newsday, and is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed The Russia House by John le Carré.